go. Amen. I thought you said you're going to control it back there, but lapel's on. Amen. It's no longer off. Amen. Praise God. And and then getting to have your faithfulness here. Thank you for your faithfulness. You young men sitting up here in the front row, God's got a plan for every one of you. Got a plan for every one of you. And I want to see you. I want to see you stay faithful to church. I was 9 years old. I was nine when God called me to preach. I'll never forget it. I was 9 years old. It's almost been 50 years ago. 50 years ago that God called me to preach. I sat in church just like you as a nine-year-old boy, and I felt this burden in my heart of what God would have me to do. I can take you to the very building. I can take you down to the very spot. I can show you where I was sitting in that church service. I can tell you who was preaching there, and I can tell you what God was doing in my heart. And I remember coming to the altar, and I surrendered my life, and I surrendered my life to be a preacher. And that's the greatest day of my life. Outside of my salvation, the greatest day of my life was when I surrendered my life to the Lord to serve Him. And I thank God for that. And what a blessing you young men have been. You be sensitive to the leading of God's leading in your life. And you yield your life to Him. And don't let the devil come and tell you, well, you know, you weren't raised in a good home, or you didn't have a good mom, you didn't have a good dad, and God can't use you. God can use you, regardless of the home. God can use you. Amen. And you young ladies, man, I tell you what, you're a blessing. Sitting up here in the front row, got your Bibles out and got your notepads and your pens and, writing your notes and drawing pictures and all the different things that you do as you doodle to listen to the Word of God. Amen. It's been a blessing. And then, Brother LeCue and your dear wife, thank you for your faithfulness to the Lord. And thank you for allowing me to come and be a part of this time here. My wife and I thoroughly have enjoyed it. And then, Pastor Mrs. George Throw, we want to thank you for being a friend to my mom and my dad. Thank you for loving them. Thank you for treating them good. And you have a very close place in our hearts. And I know that I miss my mama a lot. And I know one day I'll see her again in glory. But I thank God that they had friends in Oklahoma. And thank you for the times that you've invited me out when you were pastoring here. Thank God for your faithfulness in this new chapter of your life. And knowing that God is not done with you, that you get to take what God has given you. And you got to take it to other churches and other places, and you help still being used of God. And I love that. When one chapter closes, God begins to write the next. And then I want to thank God for these missionaries that are here. I want to thank you for your labor of love for the Lord and your commitment to the gospel to get it to the regions of the world. I told my wife, we got in the car after church, I said, truly, missionaries are our heroes. They really are. Yeah. A lot of them sacrifice everything to go do what they're going to do for the Lord. And they'll leave behind thousands of miles. They'll leave behind family and friends and loved ones and churches. They'll leave away the comforts of America, the hospitals, the doctors, the grocery stores, the Walmarts, all the different things that we see as a comfort in our life. Right. They leave all of that. Yeah. And they go out to serve God. And I want to thank God for each and every one of you with that burden and that mission. Indeed. We have victory service tonight. Amen. I don't know about you, but I like being on the winning side.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Amen. You understand that the only hell you ever know is what's going on right now.
Right.
It only gets better from here.
Yeah,
amen. Yes. It only gets better. And man, this is good right now, man. I don't know about you, but you know, this is pretty good right now. I want to thank each and every one of you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Membership, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for being here to the services and those who run the sound and all the work that goes behind the scenes. Thank you for everything. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, if you would. 2 Timothy 4. I had the joy of being raised in a good old fashioned, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, soul-winning, separated, God-honoring, devil-hating, sin-fighting, capital B, capital A, capital P, capital T, capital I, capital S, capital T, Baptist home. That's how I was raised. I mean, that's my bread and my butter. I grew up under one Bible. By the way, God only has one Bible for the English-speaking people. That's your King James Bible. Don't you let anybody else tell you anything different. Anything else is a lie. It's a falsity. And these who once used to stand by that, that are turning their back on it. Don't you get near Dathans and Abirams and Korahs.
Yeah, right.
Amen. God wrote one book for us as the English-speaking people. I thank God for that King James Bible that I have. And being raised around these great men of God. I can remember, Brother Throw, my dad would come and say, son, he said, Dr. Jack Hiles is coming into Denver, Colorado.
Yes, sir.
Can you drive down to Denver and pick up Brother Hiles? Man, that's an hour and a half drive. And if you know the back roads, it can take you 2 hours. Amen. So I'd get a captive audience with Dr. Jack Hiles, a man who God used to build the world's largest Sunday school in America.
Right.
And proof's in the pudding, by the way. I'll just tell you that.
Right.
Amen. He wasn't a perfect man, nor was his family a perfect family.
Right.
But I'll tell you this, God used him to resurrect soul winning and bus ministries all across his land.
Right.
And I thank God for the bus ministry, because my wife never would have been reached had there not been a bus ministry.
Right.
And I'd sit in the car and I'd listen to Dr. Jack Hiles. I'd talk to him. I'd ask him questions. Kind, gracious man.
Amen.
I'll never forget the very last time I took him two months before he passed away. I had him in my car and I was taking him down to the airport in Denver. And I went to the hotel to pick him up. And I got there and I hopped out and he come walking around the corner and he had his briefcase and a cup of coffee in his hand. And he's like, Brother Miller, he said, you want a cup of coffee? I said, I'd love a cup of coffee. Well, do you know what he did? He went over and made me a cup of coffee. I thought, my goodness, man.
Yes.
Here he was, taking care of me, amen. And I got to take him all the way down to Denver, got to speak with him. I had in my home Dr. Lester Roloff when I was 14 years old. Lester Roloff sat across the table from me right there at that chair. I mean, here he was, a man who'd been to jail for the cause of Christ, wouldn't take a license from the state of Texas, a man who had great and deep faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was his own pilot, had a girls' home and reaching boys and girls, man, that were just abandoned and changing their lives for all of eternity. And Dr. Lester Roloff sat across the table from me, man. I tell you, a great man of God. And I remember the day that his plane went down. And by the way, when that plane wrecked, fell 30,000 feet out of the sky, had a wind shear up there above the clouds, broke the wing off of that. That plane crumpled down to the ground with him inside of it, and he went to glory.
Yeah.
And some of the girls in that plane went to glory with him. But they found his Bible in the middle of a rainstorm. They found his Bible laid right open to the book of Psalms underneath that wing, under the shelter of the wing. Not torn any pages or anything. And it was opened up to his favorite psalm. What a blessing to be raised in and around great men of God. Been around the men of God like Lee Robertson and Tom Malone. I'm telling you what, I'm talking about the old time religion. Amen. And I'm going to just say this. You grab that old time religion and don't you let it go. And you get in behind your pastor and you let your pastor be an old time religion preacher. Amen. And holding to the old truths of the Word of God. And can you imagine what it must have been like to be around the Apostle Paul?
Yes, sir. Come on.
Can you imagine what it had been like to travel with him? Could you imagine what it had been like to hear him preach? Can you imagine what it had been like to hear him expound the Word of God? Can you imagine what it had been like in his travels?
Yes.
And we come to the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, and he's coming to the end of his journey. And he's encouraging Timothy. And he's telling Timothy, he said in verse number 1, I love it, in 2 Timothy 4, verse number 1, he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word.
Yeah.
Preach the word. I think that's what we've done this week, amen. We've opened up the word of God and we've preached the word. Be instant in season, out of season. He said you ought to be ready to preach in any moment, any season. He said, when it's popular, preach the word. When it's not popular, preach the word. When they want it, preach the word. When they don't want it, preach the word. When it's cold outside, preach the word. When it's hot outside, preach the word. I mean, hey, in season, out of season. Then he goes on, he says, reprove. He says, hey, part of preaching is going to be reproving. Hey, can I just tell you this? I wish we could always just butter the bread, but there's going to be some time you're going to have some reproof. Amen. And rebuke. I mean, the man of God, he sees something going on in your life. If he loves you like he should, and he sees you going down the wrong path, and he sees you drifting away, he might get up and develop a whole entire sermon just to try to pull you back. And you don't get mad at him when he's rebuking you. Man, you sit there and you say, man, I got a shepherd that loves me. He's going to rebuke me. He cares enough to tell me the truth. Reprove, rebuke. And then I like this, exhort. Now, two-thirds of preaching is reproving and rebuking.
Yes, sir.
Only one-third of preaching is exhorting.
Right.
Which means to reprove and rebuke, you've got to tear down before you can build up.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Right.
And we got to get rid of all that falsity in our life and rip that down so we can build up on it.
Right.
He said, for the time will come, and today is, when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts, their own desires, their own, hey, what they want to hear, after their own lusts, shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears.
Yeah.
Bible says there's going to be many teachers in the last days that are going to give you what you want to hear. They'll never preach on standards. They'll never preach on convictions. They'll turn their back on the King James Bible. They'll never preach on Baptist doctrine. They'll never tell you about salvation. It's going to make you feel good about yourself. And there's going to be many of them coming in the last days having itching ears.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I ain't one of them, bless God. Listen to me careful. I ain't one of them. I ain't one of them. I owe it to my God to stay true to the Word of God. I owe it to the training of my mom and my dad, who are rock solid, rock ribbed, old time fundamental Baptists, to stay true to the Word of God. Amen.
Yes.
The Bible says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Boy, man, what a sad day that is when your ears are turned away from the truth and turned unto fables. Paul's still talking to Timothy. He says, but watch thou in all things. He said, boy, you better be circumspect. You better be careful. Everything that comes in might be a little serpent trying to get in there and take you. Sorry, sister, but they're real. Amen. A little serpent coming in there to try to take you away from the truth. He goes on to say, he said, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. He didn't say it's going to be easy.
Right.
Let me tell you something about the Christian life. It's not easy.
Right.
When you go out to serve God and you go out to do anything for the Lord, it's going to be met with opposition. There's going to be the devil fighting you every step of the way. He says, you endure afflictions, you do the work of an evangelist. He says, you roll up your sleeves and you work and you evangelize. You go tell everybody about it. Don't you love the Bible here? This is good. Make full proof of thy ministry. And then Paul says this, for I am now ready to be offered. Paul says, hey, I'm ready to be offered. He says, the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I want to just speak on Paul's final words.
Yes.
Paul's final word on missions. Father, help me, I pray tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. In his final words to Timothy, the Apostle Paul encapsulates the essence of his life and ministry with profound clarity and conviction. He exhorts Timothy to fight a good fight. He said, I've laid the course out in front of you. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Tonight, if you're keeping notes, there's a couple things I'd like to just give you. Number one, Paul's fight for the gospel. I want us to notice Paul's fight for the gospel. These words reflect not only the struggles and challenges Paul faced, but also the triumphs that marked his journey as a servant of Christ. Paul's life was characterized by relentless dedication to the gospel. He traveled extensively, preaching to both Jews and Gentiles. He was establishing churches and nurturing believers in their faith and discipling them. And I believe that we as independent Baptists have gotten away from good old-fashioned discipleship. I don't think we need less church. I think we need more church. I think we ought to just rejoice in the fact of what God gave us, $50,000 to go ahead and help support missionaries. But we at home better be setting the pace on taking some time to disciple them. I mean, setting up extra meetings. I'm talking about setting up men's meetings. I'm talking about setting up ladies' meetings. I'm talking about setting up youth meetings. I'm talking about getting them together. I'm talking about learning the Word of God together and teaching them how they can stand on their own two feet and know how to convince the gainsayers. Amen. How they can hold fast doctrine. These young men sitting over here, they ought to know by the time they're 18, the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, what the Baptist distinctives are, why they go to a Baptist church, when is it proper to take the Lord's Supper, what is baptism, what does baptism do, and what does baptism not do. They ought to know about tithing and stewardship. They ought to know about offerings and missions. They ought to know about why they believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. I mean, they don't need to figure that out when they get out of here. They need to know that before they get out of here. Bless God, I knew what I was when I was a young man because my daddy preached it. My daddy taught me. My daddy showed me. My daddy convinced me. My daddy drove it home, and it's there to stay. And Paul was fighting for the gospel. Bless God, we got the best news in the world to give. You understand that we get to go out and we get to tell a world that Jesus Christ died on the cross for them, that Jesus shed His precious blood for them, that Jesus became sin for them, that they don't have to die and go to hell if they'll put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Hey, we get the opportunity to be custodians and carry with us the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whew. His journey was marked by numerous successes. I want you to take your Bible, turn over to Acts chapter 14 if you would. I want you to see just a few of the successes of the Apostle Paul in Acts 14. Next year when I come here, bless God, I'm going to have my other Bible with me. I got to get it rebound. Amen. Amen. Acts 14. So I feel lost up here without my other Bible. Amen. Man, it's so mocked up and tore up and used up. Amen. It's become my own personal roadmap. I'm like, where am I going now? Acts 14. Look at verse number 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul. Who said it was going to be easy? Paul says, I fought a good fight. Now, I appreciate you, brother, coming and telling me how to be careful when I get to Pakistan. I appreciate that. I'm not going to be a fool. I'm going to take into heart what you told me and things that had happened when you've been into Pakistan and crossed that border and what to watch out for and what to look at and how to... I took it to heart as you spoke it to me.
Amen.
But if I go to Pakistan and die for the cause of Christ, then so be it. Now, I don't want to die over there. I want to keep on preaching. Say, are you afraid to die? No, not afraid to die. I'm afraid how I'm going to die. Amen. I know I'm going to heaven.
Amen.
But I'm going to go to Pakistan where there's 92% Muslims.
Yeah.
Many a Muslim will lift your head off your shoulders just because your name's Matthew.
Yeah. Right.
Amen. But greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. And this is where God wants to take me to glory, then so be it. I'm not going to be afraid of it. And the Apostle Paul was here preaching, and he was preaching so much that there were certain Jews that got together, and they said, we need to take Paul outside the city and stone him. How far are you willing to serve God?
Amen.
They persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing that he had been dead. They stoned him so bad that they grabbed a hold of him. They dragged him outside the city, and they thought he was dead.
Yeah.
And laid his body out there. It was beaten and bruised and bloody. I mean, these are things that maybe you ought to just go ahead and contemplate for a moment. We read one verse like that, but we don't understand what was going on. They stoned him with stones.
Right. Yeah.
They thought he was dead. I mean, blood oozing out of his mouth, out of sight of his head, maybe out of his ears. And they get a hold of that man and they start dragging him outside. How far are you willing to serve God?
Amen.
Right. What badges are you willing to wear?
Come on.
Yeah.
Huh? It goes on to what the Bible says right here. And it says in verse number 20, how be it as the disciples stood round about him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's laying out there. The Apostle Paul laying there. They're like, good night. Who's going to finish the book of Romans? Paul's gone, man. He's dead. They're all standing. It'd be like somebody coming in here, stoning your pastor, dragging him outside the city of McAllister out there, laying him by the highway, and you're all standing there thinking, oh, my goodness. What do we do now?
Yeah.
Disciples are standing there. These believers are standing there looking at him.
Right.
The Bible says he rose up. They watch him kind of crawl around and get up and stand up. He rose up and came into the city. And the next day departed with Barnabas to Derbe. The same city he got drug out of, he went back into.
Yeah.
Same city that stoned him, he went back into it.
Right.
The next day he takes Barnabas and they go to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city. What? Man, I love it. Man, he stoned one day preaching the gospel the next day.
Right.
Woo! Man. I love that tenacity. Well, you know, it's kind of like remind me of that day that we were all sitting there watching the news together and old Donald Trump was up there. Y'all remember that? And we hear this pop, 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 pop. And we watch him go down. And we see a bunch of bodyguards around him. What happened to you when you watched him stand up and blood coming off of his face, man? He's up there and those guards couldn't, them guards weren't there to protect him. Them women couldn't do nothing to help him. He's standing head and shoulders above him. And he stands up there and he's like, fight, fight, fight. Well, if they'll do that for politics, how much more should we do it for the eternal gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ? There ought to be something inside of us to say, bless God, I fought a good fight. I was stoned, but I got up and I went and preached the next day. Bless God, God never said it's going to be easy. Get up and fight for the cause of Christ. God didn't say it's going to be popular. Man, it's easy when the crowd's saying amen. But get up there and preach it when they're not saying amen.
That's right.
Get up there and preach it when they don't want to hear it. Get up there and preach it when they don't want to accept it. This is where the Apostle Paul went.
Yeah. Ooh,
I like him.
Good.
Verse number 21, and when he had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra. What? You just got stoned there. You're going back to it again. Yeah. And to Iconium and to Antioch. Verse number 22, confirming the souls of the disciples. What does that mean? Confirming the souls? He went back to disciple them.
Right. Right.
Ryan, who got saved, his soul needs to be confirmed. Now you truly got born again, right, Ryan? Yes, I did. Truly accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Yes, I did. Confirming the souls. You need to follow the Lord and believe his baptism. Have you done that yet? Let me teach you a little bit about baptism. Here's what baptism is. Here's what baptism isn't. We got to get you baptized. And the moment you get baptized, you become a member of our church.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Man, the two ladies over here, their souls have got to be confirmed. They got born again. Paul was confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith.
Amen.
Man, Ryan's going to have to be exhorted to continue. Look, he's just a brand new babe in Christ. Bless God. He doesn't know how to walk. He doesn't know how to crawl. He can just lay there right now. You got to shove the bottle in his mouth or the milk of the Word of God and let him immerse on that bottle for a while till he gets some strength inside there. Hey, you got to get him to the house of God. You got to get him to the nursery. He's got to be in the preaching. He's got to get the milk of the Word.
Right.
And by the way, that job of that pastor is to give the milk of the Word, but also the meat of the Word, because there's some of you who got to feast on meat. And if he's preaching the meat of the Word and you see Ryan choking on it, just go take the meat out of his mouth. Say, you're not ready for meat yet. Just take the milk. This is a buffet. You eat what you can eat. If you can't eat it, spit it out. Amen. 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 You continue in the faith that we must... That we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. What?
Yeah.
Man, Paul fought the fight for the gospel. Through his efforts, many were brought to salvation, and the early church was strengthened. Paul endured great hardships, yet he remained steadfast.
Right.
Man, I'll never forget, man, I was a 14-year-old boy, and all of you guys are 13. Except for one of you. How old are you? Yeah. Oh, you're a 14-year-old boy. I was your age. Sitting at home, my dad, we're having devotions at breakfast time. All of us sitting around the table. 2 weeks from Christmas. Sitting there, 1982 or 83, 82, I think. Sitting in there, and we're eating around the table. My mama loved to make us pancakes. How many's ever had sourdough pancakes? Oh, you never had sourdough pancakes? Oh, you've had How many had sourdough bread? You know what I'm talking about? Oh, yeah. Sourdough pancakes. My mama had a batter from the early 1900s. And she'd have to keep that starter going the whole time. From the early 1900s, my mama kept that batter. She'd add things to it every... I'm telling you what, man, I'm telling you, you haven't lived till you had sourdough pancakes. Man, you take a half a stick of butter and put it all over the top of that thing. Amen. Oh, yeah. You dig a hole in the middle of that for more butter. Amen. And then you just start pouring in the syrup until it starts oozing out over everything. And if the syrup ain't dripping off the plate, you ain't got enough syrup on it.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Man, we're sitting in it. I'm telling the truth. But there was times that we kind of got tired of just pancakes. So my mom made it creative. I'd get Captain Crunch pancakes. Sometimes you all know what Captain Crunch is. My mom would take Captain Crunch cereal, put it in with the batter, and make pancakes with Captain Crunch and cereal inside of it. Frosted flake pancakes, I've had that. I've had chocolate chip pancakes, amen, glory to God. Man, you don't get this size by looking at food, amen. Man, I feel a revival coming on. We need to go have some pancakes around here, amen. And we're eating and telephone rings. My dad answers the phone. He's like, hello? What? Huh? Really? He said, all right, we're coming up. Hung up the phone. I'm like, Daddy, what's going on? You see it on his face. He said, we got to go to the church. Something bad's happened at the church.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
man, we drive up to the church. Get out. There's FBI agents everywhere. Crime tape everywhere. Right. Policemen everywhere. I'm like, what in the world? Detective vehicles everywhere. I'm like, what in the world? This building is brand new, Daddy. I mean, the paint's hardly even dry on the walls. I mean, 18,000 square foot building. Man, the policemen are all crawling all over that building. We walk inside that building, and I never dreamed I'd ever see anything like that. Unbeknownst to us, that night before, the Satanists broke into our church.
Right.
Satanists got in there, man. They had spray cans, and they were spray painting pentagrams on our walls of our church.
Yes, sir.
They walked with hammers and hatchets, and they tore, punching holes. I'm talking about brand new, beautiful sheetrock with barely dry paint on it, punching holes inside of that. Went into those classrooms, brother, where all those desks were set up, and they ripped all the lids off the desks and thrown the books all over the place. They had their drills. They drilled through door handles and door knobs. They kicked those doors down. I'm telling you, everywhere we walked, they went in, and they took every fire extinguisher off the wall, and they let off every fire extinguisher in that church, and there was a white film and dust over everything. You could see footprints everywhere where they walked through. You could see detectives in there dusting the door handles, and they were dusting the metal, and glass strewn everywhere. Anything that was glass was busted out. I walked through that 18,000 square foot building. I never dreamed I'd ever see anything like that in the house of God. I'm watching my dad. The more he walks, this is his labor and this is his love and this is what the people sacrificed for and this is what they gave their money for. And they watched that building come up out of that ground. And I remember my dad walking inside that auditorium and he saw the whole lid just ripped off the piano. I mean, ripped completely off. Walked over there. They'd taken a hatchet, chopped out all the strings and chopped out all the keys. And I saw over there at the organ where they chopped that organ to nothing. I mean, it was chopped into bits. Walked into my dad's office. I mean, every one of his books that he'd saved over the years laying on the ground. My dad had a big old jar of honey in there. And they poured honey all over the pages of those books and had our family photo laying down there on the carpet in his office and had a sword letter opener shoved down through his chest sticking up out of that carpet. You walked in that church. It was cold. It was middle of December. There's a devil walked inside that building, man, who was trying to destroy it.
Right.
My dad had already been through battles. This was one of his first battles. He'd been through them. I mean, we've had car tires loosened on our cars and lug nuts, and we'd been driving down the road having car tire fly off. We had our brake lines cut. I can't tell you how many times we had different things where our house was egged and toilet papered, 32 yards of garbage, compacted garbage out of a dump truck, dumped in our front lawn. Jim Jones painted all over our house. Our windows have been shot out. House set on fire 4 different times. Hey, I can remember it, man.
Yeah.
My dad had already been through all that, and now his church building is destroyed inside.
Yes, sir.
I watched it come over my dad. And he looked at mom and said, I put you through too much. I can't put you through any more of this. He said, I'm done. I'm done. I watched my dad walk out down his hallway, out the two back double doors. There was a little concrete pad out there. And I watched my dad sit on the ground like a little boy. And he just started weeping. He said, I'm done. I'm done. Now, you got to know my mama.
Yes, sir.
Right. Something about that woman.
That's right.
She had a little bit of fire in her. And she was the only one that could talk to my dad this way. I was 14. I'm sitting out there with Dad saying, I'm done with you, Dad. Amen. Then my mama, something happened to her. She's standing up like this. She's like, oh, so that's it, huh? We're going to come to Colorado Springs, not expect the devil to fight us? You mean we're just going to throw in the towel and just give up? I thought, this might be a good time for me to exit stage right even. I stood up and exited stage right. I don't know what the rest of the conversation was, but I remember this. My dad came and got me and said, come on, Matt, we're going home. We went home. My mama didn't come home. We went home. My dad went down in the living room, brother, and laid down on that couch. And laid down there on that living room, tears coursing down his cheeks on that couch. I sat there and never saw my dad in that condition, ever. My dad's a strong man. But he'd been through it too much. He lay in there crying. About an hour and a half later, I hear a knock on the door. I go over and I open up the door. And there's a pastor standing there by the name of Pastor Caskey. He's like, Brother Miller, he said, Matt, he said, your daddy home? I said, yes, sir. He said, come on in. Come inside the house. He said, walked over to my dad. My dad's sitting on there. He sits on the edge of the coffee table like this, on the edge of the coffee table. He said, Dean, he said, God ain't done with you.
Amen. Yeah.
This town needs Cornerstone Baptist Church.
Amen.
This town needs you. Don't you give up on the fight. He said, now here's $5,000. He said, we're going to take up an offer and we're going to try to get you some more money. But you stay in the fight, Dean.
Amen.
He got up and walked out. About 20 minutes later, I answer the door. Big old tall 6'5" man standing there, white silver hair, by the name of Dr. Ed Nelson. I said, hey, Dr. Nelson, how you doing? He said, hey, Matt, your daddy home? I said, yep, my daddy's home. Come on in. He come over. He sat down right down there. He said, Dean Miller, he said, I told you this was a graveyard for preachers. What, you expect this wouldn't be a fight? He said, now look, he said, you need to rise up and get up off that. He said, I understand that God has you. He said, hey, this town needs you. Five to seven pastors that day graced my house. Say, how did they hear? He said, my mama didn't come home. Mama was at the church office. She was making phone calls. There's a pastor that needs some help. There's a pastor that needs somebody to encourage him. There's a pastor that, hey, he can't quit. I'll never forget that phone rang. About 5 o'clock that night, on Saturday night, 5 o'clock that night, that phone rang, and I went and answered it, and I said, hello? And they said, Pastor, this is Wilson Newcomb. I said, hey, Brother Newcomb, chairman of our deacons. He said, tell preacher that he has to come up to the church. I said, Dad, I said, it's Wilson Newcomb. He said, you have to go up to the church. He said, I ain't going up to the church. I said, Dad, Wilson Newcomb said, you got to go up to the church. I said, Brother Newcomb, he said he ain't going to come to the church. He said, put your daddy on the phone. I don't know what he said to my dad, but next thing I know, we're in the car going up to church.
Yes, sir.
I'm sitting in that Park Avenue Buick. We're driving up there.
Amen.
Man, we get up to the church parking lot. And we turn in. And there was a driveway that led up in there. And there's over 200-plus church members lining the driveway.
Come on now.
And they're singing Victory in Jesus. They're singing Victory in Jesus. My dad hopped out of that car in tears. I mean, I'm hearing them sing. It was like angelic choir there, amen. And they're singing.
Amen.
And they're like, preacher, we cleaned up the church. I mean, the men and women got together. They started painting walls. They started wiping down all the white stuff and all the vacuuming. And there's still some broken stuff laying around inside that building, but it was a whole lot better than it was that morning. And I saw something coming up out of the dust and out of the ashes, and our church banded together. And they began to encourage my dad, and they said, "Hey, won't you preach to us? Preacher, preach to us tonight. Preach to us tonight." Now, I'll never forget following my dad back to his office. He walked back to his office. He walked over there and grabbed his Bible off his desk. And he turned around and he looked up above his doors, a sign that says "Discouragements of the Devil." Had a big old hatchet mark in it. Still hanging in his office now. Had a big old hatchet mark in it. My dad took off that sign, "Discouragements on the Devil." Had his Bible. Got up behind a makeshift pulpit. Amen. Opened up his Bible and began to preach "Discouragements of the Devil." And I watched my dad rise up out of that thing, and they went through battles, and they went through wars, and they went through church splits, but they never gave up. They never stopped. They kept running that race. And I'm telling you this, I can say that my father can stand today and say, "I fought a good fight."
Amen.
His final chapter ain't written in this story. Church is still going and growing. Lives are still being saved and changed. Families are still being put together. I'm just telling you this, hard times are going to come, brother. You're in the honeymoon stage and enjoy it. Man, everything's going good and enjoy it. But there's going to come a time somebody's going to find a soft spot behind one of your fifth ribs and stick it in there. And I know you don't want to hear this, but I'm just going to go on and tell you. You better take it out of your back and keep on fighting a good fight. They might want to stone you with words, but rise up again and keep on preaching the gospel. There's no quitting in this warfare. There's no quitting in this fight. There's no laying it down till we hear Jesus say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Paul, do you want to quit? Of course I wanted to. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, quickly as I haste. My wife said, "You ain't going to get done through that message." In 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. Amen. No school tomorrow. Amen. Oh man, don't tell me this now. Amen. No school tomorrow, but I'm hungry in about 15 minutes. Amen.
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter number 11. Paul says, verse number 23, says, "Are they ministers of Christ?" He says, "I speak as a fool. I more in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which come upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who's offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not." He said, bless God. He said, "Hey, everything I went through, I went through it for Jesus' sake."
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, this church, you and I have got to rouse and around our men of God. We got to get around the Word of God. We got to contend earnestly for the faith. We dare not let it up in these last days. Come hell, come high water. Hey, let's just stay in the fight.
Yeah.
Right. Rousing, soldier.
Yeah.
Rally around the banner. Ready, steady. Pass the word along. Amen.
Amen.
Onward, forward. Shout aloud, Hosanna. Christ
yes.
is captain of the mighty throng.
That's right. Yes.
Paul fought a fight.
Right.
I'm going to tell you this. You're a young preacher.
Yeah.
And I'm rooting for you.
Yeah.
And I want to see the best.
Right.
But hardships will come.
Yeah.
And when they come, don't you get bitter.
Right.
You get better.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Don't you let nobody take your joy.
Right.
The joy of the Lord is your strength.
Right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You keep going. I've seen too many of them.
Right.
They take it personal.
Right.
Can't. They ain't after you. They're after the one who called you.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Sister, when they start coming after him, if he's sitting on a back step somewhere, you better find some grit in your craw.
Amen.
You can't cave when he caves. You got to be that helpmeet in that moment. You got to find a Mrs. Miller in you.
Amen.
My mama knew how to preach. Now, she never did, but she knew how to do it. I'll guarantee you that. Amen. 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 Paul fought. Paul's future. I love 2 Timothy 4:8. Quickly, go over there. Is it warm in here or is it just me? It's warm in here. 2 Timothy 4:8. And what it says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. What? Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Hey, you ought to thank God you ain't got to wear the crown of thorns. There's a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love is appearing. Brother, man, you understand what that day is going to be like? Man, we fight. Man, we keep the faith. That word keep the faith means we guard it. Huh? We finish our course. And people say, I'm going to stand before the Lord. Oh, no, we're not. We're going to be on our knees.
Yeah.
And brother, can you imagine, Brother Caleb, what that would be like when the Lord comes down with a crown for you?
Yeah.
Now, I know what every one of us is going to do, because all of us are going to feel unworthy.
Right.
We're going to take those crowns and cast them back at Jesus' feet.
Right. Yeah.
Only one is worthy of crowns.
Yeah.
That is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
That's right.
Man, I just tell you, Paul's future was great. You know what your future is? Hey, this is victory service. You know what your future is? It's heaven. Huh? Let me tell you what your future is.
Yeah.
February 13th, my wife and I were doing a couples retreat in Colorado Springs. We had a what we called a staycation. We had one night in a hotel with all of our church families, our couples, and we're up there. And it's around noon. It's February 13th. Man comes up and puts his arm on my shoulder and he said, Pastor, he said, your daddy just called your mama. She ain't got much long to live. I closed our staycation and ran out to the car. I called daddy. I hear his broken voice on the phone. He said, Mama, I'm not going to make it much longer, Matt. I said, Daddy, I said, I'm on my way. I said, you tell mama to hold on. This is right in the middle of COVID. We drove all the way up to Fort Collins, hour and 45 minutes away, my wife and I. I'm praying one prayer. God, just keep mama alive long enough for me to say goodbye to her. I told my wife, I said, honey, you know it's COVID. I said, I know you love your mother-in-law, I said, but you're not going to be able to get in there and see mama. They ain't going to let you in there. I said, I wish you could go in there and see her. We got to the hospital.
Yes.
Like an angel behind the desk over there. She's like, you waiting? You guys here to see Mrs. Miller? I said, yes, we are. She said, you both, I got visitor passes. There's seven people up there right now waiting for you to get. My wife and I, we made nine people in that hospital room. Nine people in the middle of COVID.
Amen.
Yes. Man, I walk up in there. My mom is there. Wide awake. She can hardly breathe. I said, hey, Mom, I said, I made it. I got a picture of my other Bible that I'm going to keep on bringing with me.
Oh, yeah.
And got my mama in there. She got her hand up on my face. So I'm sitting beside her bed. She said, Matt, she said, I love you. She said, God's blessed me with three preachers in my life. My husband, you, and your brother, Dean. She said, God bless me with a good singer in our family, Charles. I've lived a good life. I said, I'm going to miss you, Matt. And I miss you too, Mama. My wife stood at the edge of her bed, a little bus kid. Didn't know nothing about life. Had wrote something for my mama. Read it to her. Dad sat on one side of the bed. I sat on the other side. When I was a little boy in church, I said all my friends, all my buddies were sitting with their friends. I was sitting with Mama on the second, on the first row. I was holding Mama's hand. I can tell you how many times I held Mama's hand in church.
Amen.
Never ashamed of that. I was never ashamed of it even as a teenager.
Praise God.
Beside her bed, and I'm holding her hand. And I'm watching her take her last breaths. She hadn't talked for about an hour and a half. She kind of motioned towards my daddy. My dad come over there, laying his head down there, and I was close enough to hear it. She said these words. She said, I love you. That's the last words I heard my mama say. For the throw, as I held her hand, I could feel her heart beating in there.
Yes, sir.
I sat there and held her hand. I looked. I said, Daddy, she's gone. She's with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I said, Daddy, she's in glory. And I heard my brother Dean begin to sing.
Right.
My brother Dean began to sing. How beautiful heaven must be.
Yes.
Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest. Next thing I know, all of us like a mighty choir is singing in that room, huh, honey? We're singing. The nurse comes walking in and the doctor. She, they hear us singing. Mama's in glory. The doctor walks in and she's shaking her head. We get done singing and she says, I'm sorry for your loss. My brother Dean said, Doctor, it's only lost if you don't know where it's at.
Right.
We know where Mama's at. She said, I never in all my life have ever witnessed when somebody died, people sing. I have a brother who died. His name was Dace. I had Mama on earth for 56 years. And Dace only had one month with Mama. And Dace is in heaven.
Yeah.
I have no doubt that when Jesus got there, there was Dace waiting to welcome her there.
Yeah.
I'm sure that Dace, my brother Dean said, I'm sure Dace ran up to Mama and said, Mama, when did you get to heaven? Mama said, I just got to heaven today. He said, so did I.
Good.
Think about it. So did I. He's in eternity. There is no day, no night, no darkness, no light. I mean, all light.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
There's no time.
Right. That's good.
Hey, can you imagine what she saw?
Yeah. Praise God.
Have you ever been into the throne room of God? Have you ever just read about it in Revelation chapter number 4? Have you ever read about Isaiah said, I saw the throne of God high and lifted up?
That's right.
Huh? And his train filled the temple? Yeah. Have you ever read that? Have you ever read that passage in the scripture that out of the throne comes a river of life?
Yeah.
Have you ever read about the rainbow that encircles the throne of God?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever read about the 24 elders before the throne of God?
Yes, sir.
Have you ever read about those cherubim singing, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come?
Yeah.
Have you ever read about that?
Oh, yeah.
And I believe that God's throne is high and lifted up. And I think just in my own mind's eye, if there's a river, there's surely got to be a waterfall. And I just happen to believe that behind that throne, with his throne high and lifted up, there's a waterfall there, creating this unbelievable mist, and the Shekinah glory of God is shining upon that mist, and it creates a rainbow round about that throne, and his train fills the temple. And I believe that my mama, for the first time, her faith became sight. I mean, completely whole. And all of a sudden, she begins to look around at all those that were born again and saved because of the ministry that they gave to the Lord.
Amen.
Can you imagine what heaven's like? Keep your eye on the prize. My mama's life verse is Hebrews chapter number 12. Amen. Verse number 1 and 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. Hey, are you hearing what I'm saying? Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith.
Yes, sir.
I got to close. You want all the F's? Amen. Paul's fight for the gospel. Paul's future because of the gospel. Bless God, we're going to heaven, brother man. You imagine what that's going to be like, huh? Huh, brother Caleb? Can you imagine seeing him? Whew. You understand, I've been preaching about a man since I've been 14 years old I've never seen. I've been preaching about a place I've never been. Amen. But there is coming a time when my faith becomes sight. Amen. When Paul had faith in the gospel. See, I kept the faith. I'm not going to belabor the point. All he did was protect what God gave him. Don't you let anybody take anything from you. Sometimes you got to stay away from some of those sites on the put a question mark with it instead of putting a period.
Right.
I don't get on the computer a lot for a lot of these places.
Right.
You know why? I don't want nobody messing with my faith.
Come on.
I don't need somebody right now to reteach me the Bible. I just need to reread it. Amen.
Yes, sir. Go ahead now.
Amen.
Good.
Paul's force behind the gospel. You know what Paul's force was behind the gospel? The blessed power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Yeah. You know what our force is? Hey, when we come to church, you know what we got to have here? You want to have victory? We got to have the power of the Holy Spirit of God.
Right. Yep.
Here's where you got to be sensitive, Pastor. I'm talking to you. Holy Spirit's going to open doors. You better walk through the ones He opens.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit's going to close doors. You better not open them doors.
Right. That's good.
Holy Spirit's going to lead your church this way.
Yeah. Right.
But you might have it in your heart to go that way.
Right.
You better find out where the Holy Spirit's going to go His way. What we do over here as a pastor, it's a big deal.
Right. Yes, sir.
That's why there's safety in a multitude of counselors.
Yes, sir.
Right. Yes,
sir. Sometimes I call up Daddy and say, Daddy, I said, I got some big decisions to make. He said, uh-huh.
Yeah.
I just need your advice on a few things.
Yep.
I'll write down all those advices from my dad, maybe Daryl Cox, whoever else I can call to, I trust as a confidant. I'll write down all their advice. Then I'll get on my knees and say, all right, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do?
Amen.
Show me where to go.
Yeah.
You're right, honey. I couldn't get through all of it. I gave her my outline before I preached. I wrote this afternoon. But I just, man. Sister, are you cold? It feels so good. Amen. In glory, your fingers won't turn blue. Amen. You imagine what that day is going to be like when we all get to heaven. Could be a great day. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace, and He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Let's fight a good fight. Let's keep the faith and let's finish the course. Amen. Congratulations. $50,000 for missionaries this year. Hey, watch what God will do. Stay faithful to it. Hey, celebrate what God is doing. Lives and souls for all of eternity will be changed. You'll see the money again, but it won't be money. It'll be souls. Amen. Praise God, Pastor. Thank you. Amen. 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 God bless you.
Praise God.
Amen.